Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now Nicodemus, he may not have understood it, may not have even recognized it, but in this passage, Jesus teaches him about the Holy Trinity. God the Creator creates us. And we cannot be born again unless we are created again. And we cannot have eternal life without Jesus, the Son of Man who was lifted up. And we cannot believe unless the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Listen again to this portion of our gospel reading. And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." See, like Nicodemus, we too are taught about the Trinity. We learn it in Sunday school, in our confirmation classes, we talk about it in our Bible studies, and we even describe it every Sunday when together we speak the words of the Apostles' Creed. And we accept it as fact. And all too often, we don't spend much time trying to understand it because, quite simply, we can't. We find it impossible to really comprehend, and so we don't even try. We simply take God at His word. But we are also human, and we like to understand the world around us. And so we're left with this impossible tension between that which we can know and that which we cannot. How often do we try to fill in the gaps of this knowledge, as it were, with human reasoning, human understanding? And this passage is one example of that. We can see Nicodemus struggling with what he hears. We can picture him desperately trying to follow along as Jesus teaches him. We can picture him trying to look upon this tapestry that Jesus is weaving as he explains God and the Spirit and himself. And it must have been so confusing. And in so many ways, we can forgive Nicodemus. Because at that time and in that place, Jesus is still alive. He has yet to die and rise again. And so, from Nicodemus's perspective, Jesus looks like a man. Jesus acts like a man. And so Jesus must be a man. But since he also performs miracles, he also must be more than a man. And that feels right, and so he accepts it. He says, here stands a man who is like me, but also who is more. He can do what I can do, but also more. But where does this more come from? Well, obviously God. For who else could make man more? And it's from this perception, although flawed, that Nicodemus has engaged Jesus with the question and this discussion concerning rebirth. And once again, he takes what he knows and he tries to build a bridge to what is unknown. What Jesus is presenting to him as new knowledge. And we watch him struggle with this. And we're not told of the outcome, but we do hear about him two more times in John's Gospel. At the last, where he assists Joseph in preparing the lifeless body of Christ for burial after the crucifixion. So we can have some confidence that Nicodemus didn't reject these teachings, even if he didn't or couldn't understand them. Now we live on the other side of the cross. We live in the knowledge and the experience of the resurrection of our Lord. And Nicodemus might say to us that we are in a much better position to understand that which he struggled with. But is that true? We know that Jesus is God. We know that he died. We know that he was resurrected. And we know that he lives fully man and fully God. And these do bring us a few steps closer, a few steps farther than Nicodemus. But is our distance that we traveled all that significant in our knowledge and understanding of God and of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit? Can we say much more about all of this than Nicodemus could? You see, we have campuses. They're filled with people who try to explain it, who try to dig deep to explore the mysteries of God. But no matter how far they travel, they always end up at a point that requires them to build a bridge between what is known and what is left unknowable. And it's not that they just haven't figured it out yet. It's that they can't figure it out. They can never figure it out. We can never know everything. We can never comprehend what God can. So we all end up at the edge of this cliff of human understanding when it comes to the things of God. And whether it concerns God's redemptive work in our baptism, or Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, or the Holy Trinity, or so many other things. We always end up at a place where the next step is impossible for us to comprehend, impossible for us to understand. And so what do we do when we reach that point? Do we try to build our own bridge? to connect what we know with what we don't. We can try, but we will fail. We'll attach one side of our bridge to human understanding, but we'll have no ability to anchor it to the other side. We'll end up with a bridge that goes nowhere. Instead, what Jesus tells us today is not to worry about what is unknown. Don't focus on the bridge, he says. Don't try to comprehend the inner workings of God. See, these things are not for us to know. Instead, we're to focus on what has been made known to us by the Holy Spirit. And what is that? What has been made known to us? That we have been born not by any command of ourselves, but by the command of the Father. That through Him all things have been created, even us. That by the power of that same Word, in baptism, He recreates us in Christ Jesus. And He adopts us into His family as heirs to His kingdom. And that He does this not on account of anything that we have done or anything that we could do, not on account of anything that we have done to deserve His grace, but only on the account of what Jesus has done for us on our behalf. That on the cross, Jesus became sin to secure victory over death. And He handed that victory over to us. See, this is what the Holy Spirit makes known. And He makes known that through the same baptism, He's entered us. And He dwells within us. And He does so to bring to us the benefits that Christ won on the cross. And for those who believe in Him, He enables, through faith, to grasp on to that forgiveness, that everlasting life, that salvation. And we keep clinging to it, even when we reach a point where human understanding ends and where faith begins. You see, Jesus' message to us today is this. When you reach that cliff of understanding, when by your own knowledge and comprehension you cannot take another step, fear not. For your salvation depends not on your movement, not on your understanding or your activity, but only on Christ's. Now, Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And this morning we see that this was a misguided question, for it presupposed that man was responsible for some action, responsible for some part of this act of his salvation. But he's not. We're not. Jesus is. And he comes to you by the command of the Father, and his grace rests upon you through the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to travel to Him. Indeed, you cannot travel to Him. He must come to you. And He does. He does come to you. And He offers you life everlasting. You need not worry about how. You need not struggle with why. Just know that He does. Just live in the peace of knowing that it was done. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, please give me the heart to trust You completely. Help me fight the pride of leaning on my own knowledge and intelligence. May I be faithful in thanksgiving to all You have given me, and may I follow Your teaching. In Jesus' name, amen.